If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click, and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is May 2nd, 2025. This is your WWE SmackDown review. Kate is out tonight, so Phil of Grapsody filling in. Considering the circumstances, I decided to hop on at the beginning of this show as well. If you guys have any super chats, any humper chats, go ahead and get them in. I did an hour and a half stream during SmackDown to answer a lot of your questions on cuts. But just since that ended, Javier Bernal has been confirmed. That's one I had heard. Oro Mensah as well. So still a couple that had been announced, but lots of questions about this, obviously. We also have Alex Cardoza here, who is here every Friday.
But yeah, I don't take time off like Kate.
Another gentleman who does not take much time off, if any, is our good friend Phil. Grapsody every Saturday. You can also check out a ton of great stuff on the Grapsody channel. Phil, how you doing, man?
Good. Pretty tired. I forgot the show was 3 hours and an hour, and oh, I was like, God. Oh, it's still going. I was like,
it's brutal, and I'm gonna pass it off to you guys very quickly. I'm going to go ahead and get to some of the super chats and humper chats that were passed in. Jared says, I just want a decent women's tag division. Any promotion, big or small, take your pick. Guys, this was something I said on the other stream. If you're AEW, I don't know how or why you don't establish world women's tag titles to go across everything and say, if you are a women's tag team wrestler, this is the place you want to be, not the other place. They have repeatedly gutted any hope for a tag team division, it appears, Phil.
Yeah. It's strange. Every time they have a tag team that's been around for a while, like Jakara and Lash or Kaden and Katana, they get rid of them before they can really go to a main roster and have a good run. Because that was kind of the same thing with the Iconics as well. So it's kind of not hard to be disheartened by, you know, where they are with the tag division and just the weird way that they booked it at WrestleMania, put the belts on Becky and then a night later take the belts off and put them on Liv, and then Liv is now going away to film a movie. So yeah,
which she won't be gone that long from what I understand. I'm working on nailing down some dates, but Ryan says cuts happen in any sport for depth players, for youth or free agents or scheme fits, but to cut a prospect like Chikara, who is improving, can talk and knows who she is, baffling mismanagement. I really liked the work that she was doing with Lash, and it was super fishy when they split them up. I was like, really? Them? Like, they're working so well together. They're growing together. They're doing their best work together as a team. Alex, who was the most surprising release that you heard of tonight?
You know what? Cora Jade was one of them. I was like, I thought she was an up-and-comer. I thought they were going to put a rocket on her and say, okay, let's see where we can go. So I was extremely surprised to see her name pop up. I'm pretty sure wherever she lands, and Gigi Dolin, she was just on television. Literally, yeah. Was just like on front row. She was doing all the celebrity things. Remember that? For the night after WrestleMania. She's another one that to me has just, unfortunately, in WWE has had so many waves, right? In how they've handled her. And unfortunately, it's like with Dakota and all that stuff, it's just like there was a little bit of the writing on the wall. I don't want to say I knew it or anything like that, but I mean, like, there were some people that just weren't doing, and Braun, I don't know what the hell happened there. So
yeah, they wasted a lot of his prime. Like, listen, the dark era of WWE, him and Roman was a shocking, surprising, like, piece of joy for me. Just watching Braun think of whatever mentally disturbed thing he could do to Roman Reigns that week, like throwing him off a loading dock, was very funny. But I mean, to kind of like, Gigi Dolin was a part of a tag team that should have been on the main roster with Toxic Attraction, and then teaming with Tatum Paxley, they split them up too. I mean, I guess there's still the possibility of Shotzi with her, but Ty J says, do you think we see Mariah May in WWE sometime soon? I think a lot of it's going to come down to who makes the best offer free agency. I think that she is very wise to hit free agency because a lot of people sign that deal before they get there. And she at least should see what AEW is going to offer her and find out what WWE is going to offer her. But for some people, WWE is the dream. That's what I also keep trying to remind people about today. It's not just people losing their jobs. Almost all of these people are losing their dream jobs, like almost exclusively, which is very, very sad to see. Parker says, is it a bad look when you talk about benching, then release talent weeks later? I don't think AEW can benefit getting Cora and Dakota to their women's division. Wishing everyone released, good luck. Prove them wrong. I can't remember specifically who it was. I know there were some talent during the pandemic who got on AEW's bad side because they skipped some AEW bookings because they had signed with NXT. I don't remember if Cora is one of them, but Dakota already has supporters. I mentioned this on the other stream. Like, a top agent in wrestling hit me up and was like, hey, any chance of you connecting here? Because she's going to get signed somewhere. So that's already something that is expected. I would be surprised if AEW doesn't bring her in. Cora, I think she's going to work the indies a lot more. Phil, do you see any potential landing points for those two specifically?
Well, Dakota was in talks with AEW the first time she got released, right? Well, when her contract expired. So I wouldn't be surprised if she does make the jump this time. Cora, like you said, I could see her doing more indie stuff, going back to being Elena Black, and then from there, I'm not sure.
Anthony says, couldn't get into this show because of the talent releases. Why did WWE announce talent releases right before a show? So this is a very peculiar thing because I broke this down on the other show. If anybody's ever watched Office Space, you know why they do firings on Friday. It's the best day mentally to do a firing for any number of reasons. But for WWE, doing them 2 hours before a SmackDown where your mentions are going to be dominated by people dunking on your show, I don't get it. I know that a lot of times WWE, when they had bad news, they would release it like before something big, like a show, pay-per-view, whatever, because of the old today it's in the news, tomorrow they're wrapping dead fish with it mentality where, oh, just wait till the next thing. But this, I'm shocked that they do it always before SmackDown at this point. Like, I'm just very, very surprised. But I'm about to hit the bricks, guys. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Also, FightfulSelect.com. I'm going to work on a free update tonight on some of these releases. We do have a free tier. We have a bunch of contract news coming to the Fightful Select paid tier as well. A couple things I wanted to clear up because I saw people clipping the hell out of my podcast. There's no new Wyatt's update. The same update there's been for 2 months. And then I saw a lot of people saying that, like implying that I said that Triple H personally fired these people. No, I said if he wanted these people there, they would be there. They would be on the show and not put in a position to where they would be fired. To that same degree, somebody asked me, well, how much input does Shawn Michaels have? And I was like, well, nobody's ever told me that. And certainly his booking doesn't appear like he has a lot of input because he's from Mustafa Ali even. Like that man was supposed to win the North American title and he got fired. So, like, definitely varying degrees of that. Triple H is way higher on the ladder. There's certainly a collaborative effort there. But, listen, there are not people that are factored into major creative plans that are cut on, around this run or even the last run. So, like I said, if he wanted them there, he would have booked them to the point to where they would be there. But, gentlemen, I want to thank you for letting me pop on at the start of this. I encourage everybody, if you want to hear additional stuff about the releases, I did a show earlier, but also check out, it's this dude over here tomorrow on Grapsody because I'm sure there will be a much more measured take, well, from Phil at least, on these these releases. Thank you, guys.
Yep. This guy, he goes, thanks for letting me come on. I'm like, it's, you know, we report to you, sir.
Yeah, man, this is your company, sir.
He's like, yeah, I'm coming on. Great.
It's not like he's saying, hey, guys, I think I'm about, no, not today. Sorry.
This isn't even my show.
Sorry, Sean.
I'm feeling everybody. Like, hey, thanks for, yeah, I'm sure Kate will be fine with it.
Yeah. No one's going to say not tonight, Sean. You might want to hold off.
Yeah, but get your super chats in, get your humper chats in. I'm sure people have questions about the release and also, you know, questions, stuff about tonight's show. Kind of a downer night all around. It was kind of hard to get into this show with some of the news. The show was not great either. Like, I think the parts that were good, but it's just too long, man. It doesn't need to be 3 hours.
SmackDown specifically, because we've had I think I'm a little older than you are, so I've been watching SmackDown for a very long time since it was in the UPN days. And, you know, those 2 hours were just so much more digestible after, you know, Raw went to the 3 hour format. Even Raw just being 2 hours, you know, for a while there, along with SmackDown, but it is, man. Long story short, tonight's show felt a little bit like kind of dragged. These draggy shows are meant for like go homes, but tonight wasn't a go home, and tonight definitely felt like, man, like there was no reason for recaps and giving an entire TLC breakdown. We know what happened. We know what happened. So like we spent a long time with a lot of filler.
Yeah, we got a lot of filler. This definitely felt like a week after WrestleMania lull. And we've got a pay-per-view next Saturday. So you would think that they would have more stuff here pertaining to the pay-per-view. But even the stuff we got that was pertaining to the pay-per-view, it just felt like it was filler, man, or a rehash of what we already saw from last week.
Tons of. They always go back to the well with this. I talk about this with Kate. You know, a run-in, which we saw, we'll talk about, right? Typical SmackDown. It should be a meme. And then also combining different teams because they just need to fight or they need to be together for some odd reason to fight each other or whatnot, even though they might be mortal enemies. Like, that's a lot of going to the well type of stuff. You know, have some tournaments. I don't know, mix it up. Like, you don't have to be like AEW. They tell their stories through fights, right? I understand that. WWE tells it by giving you these, you know, cinematic moments in the ring. But tonight was just tonight was a little rough.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me know how my volume is. I saw someone say I was a little loud. Hold on.
It's just you're just excited. That's what it is. You're
just really excited. I'm yelling, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
It is now. You just came in a little hot. I don't know if you want to just bring it down a couple notches, but right now, obviously, you were excited, so you were yelling into the mic. So
yeah. But yeah, send us your super chats. Send us your hopper chats. We're going to get into this episode of SmackDown. See. Already got a few super chats, I think. Okay, maybe that is a humper chat because I don't see it here. See, for Fan Twin Blade, he says, Fed sucks. Wrap the X bang clap connection. Team ups do not. Corporate greed can suck. My left nut. Chelsea will always be the real president of America. Appreciate you, Van Twin Blade.
Oh, man. Thank you for that. We needed that good laugh. Chelsea for president. Can I just say Chelsea's done just such a good job of channeling her inner Chelsea Trump with her mannerisms and the things that she's saying and how, like, she's, fake this and fake that and fake countouts, and they're like, no, it was a match. It was a 1-2-3. What are you talking about, dude? Nick, you lost. You know?
Yeah, she's great, man. I really hate that she didn't get a WrestleMania match to really cap off this title reign before she dropped the title. That felt like a missed opportunity, but it is what it is.
Yeah, she like WrestleMania 2, and I know you probably spoke about it a ton on your show and everywhere else that you're in. But for me, just a little bit there, it was just, again, there was a lot of time in between that just we could have fit if we would have shortened all those little things that we were doing, celebrity shots and blah, 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 and storytelling. We could have fit in an awesome Chelsea match.
Yes.
I don't know, Bookmania.
Seems like a kind of a miserable experience having to book all of these big
things. Oh, God, dude.
So I don't know. Got one from Ricardo. He says, lovelies. Whoa, a wild Phil appeared. Always good to be seen. Keep your Pokemon balls in your pockets, man. I can't be caught.
How are things on your show, by the way? You want to give, I'm pretty sure everyone here watches it, but like any fun stuff happening over on your show before we get into SmackDown?
Yeah, we got Rhapsody coming tomorrow at noon. I'm going to try to watch Dantaku up to date on New Japan stuff for tomorrow. Yeah. Try to be up to date on all of other wrestling happenings. Yeah. A lot to get into other than releases. I'm glad that there was other wrestling stuff to talk about. So we're not just talking about.
Well, sure. Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of other stuff to talk about. Retirement stuff from Japan. Mayu going to Marigold. A lot of wrestling news to get into.
That's cool, man. Love it.
Let's see, from Tom LaValle. He says, a heck of a night, sit in, Phil. Appreciate you. Alex, you're the man and the clav. wishing both of y'all the best. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Man, we love the love here on Friday nights. We appreciate all of you guys, putting in, any donation or spending in, like for the super chats. We know the streets have been rough as of late, and anytime you guys send love our way, I greatly appreciate it. I'm pretty sure Phil does as well, and Kate doesn't care about us, so we're not going to mention it right now.
Yeah, my bad, Van Twin Blade. I now see your super chat. Let me throw that on screen. I don't want to leave you out. I did read it earlier, but...
We did, yeah. I think we were the first one that we read, so...
Yeah. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. I think that is all... Okay, we got, I believe it's a humper chat from Anthony Velasquez. He says, I couldn't get into the show because of the talent releases. Why did WWE announce talent right before the show? Yeah, this was, I think we read this one when Sean was here. It's a choice putting it out right before the show. I guess the notion is there's no such thing as bad press, but
And they just stay, you know, I mean, when you try to talk about it as someone like we who cover this stuff, you know, we, I don't want to call us like journalists, but like we cover wrestling, we talk about wrestling, we live, eat, and breathe this sport, you know? So like when we like put our thoughts and stuff like that, I hate getting like the messages back. Like, well, this is how corporations work. Such and how corporations work. We got to even flows and checks and balances and we must work the checkbooks. And when I check, you're living at home.
Yeah.
You're working AutoZone and you're trying to like school me on stuff like that. I know this happens, but in a situation where you have a ginormous company like this that touts a lot of what they're doing on a daily basis in every show, and you're buying other companies, right? Absorbing other companies, you know, when a firing occurs like this, specifically, you know, right after your biggest show of the year, it's a little bit of a letdown, you know. Like, I understand people gotta go, like contracts end, people get let go. It happens everywhere. It happens at my job, right? But gosh, it's just like when it's in like in the middle of the of nowhere, the way it did, it's disturbing.
Yeah, I mean, just at this time period, it's just not a great time to hear anybody losing their job. I mean, it's never really a great time to hear people losing their job, but just with the climate in the country and a lot of things, it's just, I don't know, it's a scary time for a lot of people, and you know, you don't want to hear people losing their job. Sure, some of these people, if not most of them, will probably land on their feet, but just not good to hear, man. It's just a downer.
Yeah.
Yo, Ryan, that I forgot about that. Ryan is saying, also the release of Shayna right after those jokes were made, nasty work. Yeah, some of that stuff that was leaked from the roast with Shayna and Shayna being released right afterwards. Yeah. Nasty.
Yeah, sure. I forgot all about I forgot that she was let go too.
I'm sure there's no correlation, but just the timing of it is really shitty.
Yeah, everything, you know, like everything that just happened, right? So like we can't tie one to another because that happened on its own in its own little universe. None of that stuff was supposed to get leaked either. You know? Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, we just gotta move like forward, I guess, and hope for the best for them.
Yeah. So we got another super chat from Orion Ben. He says, matches were decent, but hard to get into because WWE. Yeah. But yeah, let's get into some of the show. LA Knight versus Damian Priest started out tonight, ended in a no contest thanks to Bloodline Drew versus Jacob versus Knight versus Damian for the U.S. title that's being set up for Backlash. This match was fine. It was one of those matches where you can tell, and I don't know if it was just me, throughout the night, I could tell they were padding the matches and making them longer to fill the time.
Yeah.
And there were definitely parts of the match where I was just like, man, get to it. Like, if you're going to make this match this long, it should be action-packed, but it just, some of these matches were like I said, like Orion's saying, pretty good to decent matches, but sometimes it felt like you could tell they were just trying to stretch them out as long as possible.
I use I use NordVPN, of course, the world's greatest VPN service in the entire universe. And you know, I watch by using the Canada option, right? So I get to watch. I watch everything on Netflix now, right? I don't have regular cable, so I would be missing out on USA Network anyway, but I don't now. So, but they don't show the commercials. They show the match throughout the commercial breaks, kind of like AEW Plus or whatever it is does. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to kind of see, you know, as the match continues, but also added to that is exactly what you said. It feels like it's being dragged. Like it just today, for some reason, Phil, like from match number one, like you just mentioned, it just felt like it was just being stretched out. I don't know what was happening, dude. Maybe we're just all tired. I don't know. But if I, maybe the audience here, everyone in the chat could chime in. Did it feel like it was kind of dragged? Like, let us know, because I know for me, Phil's agreeing with me.
Yeah. I think the setup itself for the match was fun enough. LA Knight came out, and then Damian came out, and it was really just the confrontation from last week of, hey, you cost me this match. I'm trying to get my title back. And Damian's just like, well, it's not my fault you lost your title. Like, you're mad at me because, you know, I cost you a chance of getting it back. But maybe if you had gotten a job done at WrestleMania, none of this would matter anyway. And, you know, had a point. But also, you did cost me the match when you were out here for stuff that didn't have anything to do with me, with Drew McIntyre. So LA Knight did have a point. But yeah, the match itself was fine. I think like some of the spots outside and like that flatliner onto the apron looked like, ouch. And just the setup into the finish looked great. That every time LA Knight does that, that big double jump elbow drop, he does very graceful for a big guy his size. But like I said, a decent match. There was a lot here that I liked, but probably didn't need to be this long for what it was, especially if you're going to do a DQ finish.
Yeah, 100% if you knew that this was going to be DQ. But I totally agree with you. I think match was okay. LA Knight, anytime he gets put on TV, he's still hot. He doesn't even need a title. He just needs to be out there, you know, throwing his lines, doing his thing, showing off the, like you just said, his athleticism. And I'm so proud of where Damian Priest is at now. You know, like he's, you know, a fellow Boricua, like just seeing his growth, seeing him always embrace his Latino side too. Like, that's huge because, you know, he wants that to be incorporated. Like even in his music, you hear the Spanish on his trunks. You see the Puerto Rican flag or on his shirt. It's pretty cool to see his match.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
From when he first started getting into the, you know, the Judgment Day, and now on his own, man, he's really leveled up. So I'm happy. Anytime I get to see him, I'm really happy. And plus, we could trust him. He gives us a good match, man. He's dirty out in the ring. He's fighting. He's throwing people around. Pretty physical.
Yeah, man, polished. That's what I think of him at this point.
Yeah.
He looks polished. He looks like a star. That time as world champion really benefited him because he feels like a legitimate star. Like even when you see him do the media stuff, I got a chance to interview him briefly during WrestleMania period in Vegas, and man, like I said, very well spoken, very polished, and then in ring, man, you know what you're going to get out of him. He's going to give you good matches. He's going to give you good promos, and I thought that was more of this tonight. If anything, I'm a little bit disappointed that he's just in the U.S. title picture and they're not moving him back into the world title scene, but you know, at least they seem to have something going with him. And I think like the stuff that they're doing to build to the U.S. title match at Backlash has been solid. I think the stuff with Jacob has been great. They're slow walking the dog to this solo match that I assume is coming. But other than that, like another multi-man match, but it's not a bad thing. Cause I mean, that's kind of the thing with Backlash. Backlash is usually the WrestleMania leftover show.
Yeah, I agree. It is what it is, man. And, you know, maybe, I mean, the world title picture is really jam-packed, right?
Yes.
And it's just a lot happening. So to try to inject him into anything that's going on there, it would mean that he would, you know, all of the tournament type of style pay-per-views are out, Elimination Chamber, so on and so on, Rumble, like all that's gone now. What we got left now is just, like you just mentioned, leftovers and, you know, Money in the Bank, things like that are just coming along the line, again, to set up for, you know, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and then, you know, because I know it sounds crazy because it's only May, but friends, like before we know it, we're talking about, you know, the road to SummerSlam is starting again.
Yeah, first ever two-night SummerSlam.
Two-night SummerSlam in Jersey.
Coming up, so, yeah.
Cardi B. Right. No, that wasn't Cardi B, right? Who was it?
It was Cardi.
Okay. Just making sure I don't want to get my rappers wrong and then lose all my street cred.
Yeah. Not Meg. Meg does the theme song to SmackDown. Cardi is hosting SummerSlam. We got a super chat from Tim Ruta. He says, need Reg for this, for his scorching thoughts at the moment. Yeah, I'm sure he'll have his thoughts for you tomorrow.
He's gonna, he likes to burn it up and say it how it is. From the, I mean, he's from the little bits that I've heard so far.
Yeah, let's see, we got another super chat. From Anthony Velasquez, he says, starting to notice WWE going back to using a lot of DQ finishes lately. Yeah, not the biggest fan. There's nothing wrong with doing interference and doing DQ finishes, but when there's so many of them in one show, it gets too predictable and it gets a bit too formulaic. And I get why this was a DQ finish, because, again, set up the big multi-man match for Backlash, but I think because the match was so long, it was just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, 100%. I think that's exactly what it is. It just makes you, and it makes you feel, right? You don't feel as invested.
Yeah. We got the Fraxium interview after this, and then Fraxium versus Pretty Deadly. Fraxium has been lighting it up on NXT. A lot of people have been excited about them coming to the main roster. I think for them to come to any show, SmackDown makes a lot of sense, because they've done more work on SmackDown to build up the tag division. We just got that excellent TLC match last week, and there's so many great opponents already set up for them, and you can eventually set up the match for them against Street Profits. And, you know, they've been doing the usual call-up stuff, introduce a new act to a new audience stuff with the interview. So this would pretty much run in the bill. The match itself was Pretty Deadly. I expected it to be better than it was because, you know, I'm a fan of Pretty Deadly. I like this act a lot. There were bits in this match where it seemed like there were things that went awry, or there were communication issues. I'm not sure what happened. At one point,
the ending. I mean, I tagged you on Twitter. I was like, "Are we going to speak about this?" Like,
that was definitely three. Yeah, at the end, at one point, I think I don't know if he was supposed to kick out or what was supposed to happen there. But the ref definitely counted to three.
She did. She went all the way down.
It was three. And then the match just kept going. I was like, wait. I don't think that was supposed to happen. I'm not sure what happened there. It seemed like there was some kind of miscommunication, but oof.
Oh my goodness. And again, it could be a lot of things. You know, it's a live show, so miscommunication could happen. For anyone out there, we're not ragging on them, but we also expect, you know, them to kind of get it together a little bit. You know, when you're doing a show of this caliber and you've been doing it for this long. So for me, I love Pretty Deadly, man. They're one of my favorite tag teams. Not only because they have that shtick going on that reminds me of like Fandango and Tyler Breeze back in the day. Yeah. But they've also, they can chop it up in the ring really well. These guys can really wrestle, man. Like, watching them on NXT and just seeing what they were doing earlier before they just kind of became a sideshow for a lot of tag team matches on SmackDown. Whenever they get a win, I pop. And anytime I get to see them, you know, perform and go into the ring with good talent, man, they show off. But like you said, tonight was, they were a little bit of misleadings and things that were happening. But other than that, I don't have much to say about, what is it, Fraxium? Because I don't watch NXT like that. Mm-hmm. So for me, watching this, I'm 1,000% a casual watching SmackDown, trying to figure out who these dudes are and trying to figure out their story. So, you know, they're piecing it together little by little.
Yeah, they're a fun tag team. Very fast-paced. Nathan Frazier, super athletic, very fast. I mean, Russell's a lot like one of my favorite wrestlers, Seth Rollins. Was, of course, trained by Seth Rollins. So you can see the similarities between those two guys. But yeah, very good tag team. Curious to see how far they go as a tag team. Are they going to end up splitting them up at some point? I don't know. But so far, so good. I would have to assume you wouldn't bring them up and put them on SmackDown if you didn't want to push them heavily as a tag team, is my guess.
I agree 100% with that. Yeah, you're right. And they were also ready. I think they were just, yeah, they showed that they had what it took to, you know, what it takes to be doing high caliber matches and being on television weekly at a higher, you know, in a higher echelon, not like, you know, NXT, which is kind of like a sound stage, you know?
Yeah, no, it was time. They were on a lot of people's year-end list of tag team of the year, or, you know, a lot of people, you know, spoke highly of a lot of their matches last year. So it just felt like it was time.
Agreed, yeah.
Yeah, just time to get them in front of a bigger audience. And yeah, I think once you put them in feuds and get them into pay-per-view matches, we'll be getting off to it. We had Meechin and B-Fab issuing a challenge for the tag titles. As we said at the start of the show, Liv Morgan is going off to film a movie, but she and Raquel are the tag champions. So I don't know what that means. I think Meechin and B-Fab make a lot of sense as a tag team. It gives the two of them something to do. I think that they have decent chemistry together. It just is a downer that all of the teams that have been established in some way from NXT that the audience likes, they just don't give them the time to settle in as a tag team. And I think that's really the big issue with the women's tag division in general. There's not enough teams that are specifically tag teams. There's too many teams that are just like singles wrestlers that are not doing anything else, teaming up as a tag team. And so it never feels like it's a permanent thing. It always feels like a here's something for them to do for now thing until they go off to do something else. And you've had other tag teams at this point where you could have done things with them. Like I said, the Iconics or Isla Dawn and Alba Fire. They were a tag team for a while. You
know,
kept using them or Caden and Katana. And you know, it sucks. Every time you get used to a tag team, they either release one of them or just split them up for no reason. I don't get it. The tag division is never going to grow if you don't put the work into establishing teams.
There is no backing for the females tag team division. Zero whatsoever. There is none. There's no history behind it. There's no backing behind it. There's no one saying, hey, let's build these tag teams to make things better. There is really no, you just said it. There's no picture. There's nothing there for them, unfortunately. Like, it's just cursed. It's been cursed from the beginning. You know, yeah. I wish there was more. I guess the correct word that I've been looking for is investment. I wish there was a big investment. Like, yeah, I sort of feel, and Phil, I just want to say this right now. I know this is going probably coming later on in the future by WWE, but I do kind of feel like the Evolution 2 pay-per-view, if they decide to go that route and call it that or bring it back, would just be another kind of like a quote-unquote PR stunt, right? Cool, we're going to have all our women together because no one else is doing it, and we're going to bring it to you. You're going to love it, which we are. We're going to support it, which we are, and we're going to get behind the women like we always do. But then just like that time period when that came out, we thought things were really changing. We kind of fall back, you know, to where we're at now, yes. Right? Again, there's no investment. You're doing these one-offs.
Yeah. I'm surprised we have not gotten the announcement yet for Evolution 2. There were the rumors going around that they were going to announce it around WrestleMania season. We did not get the announcement. I believe the report initially was saying that it might be announced for the beginning of July. I believe it was Connecticut is where the destination was potentially going to be. So hopefully that's still going to happen. A lot of people have been campaigning for Evolution 2 for quite some time. It's wild that the first one was 7 years ago. Doesn't seem like it was that long ago. But yeah, they've got a great opportunity because you have so many women, and now you have so many different belts. You have the mid-card titles, you have 2 world titles, and then you have the tag titles, and then you have whatever you're going to do with the NXT titles, and then you have the relationship with TNA and AAA. So you have some great opportunities to do something with that show, but like you said, if it's just the let's do this for now, for good press, and you don't really plan on building something with this and actually doing something like with the mid-card titles, sure. Then it's kind of hard to invest in them. Because, I mean, I think it's great that we're finally getting to a good feud with Lyra as champion. I thought her promo on Monday was fantastic. I think the stuff she's doing with Becky is finally getting somewhere with her. She's getting to show some personality, but I just think it sucks that you had these mid-card belts and neither of them were defended at Mania. And then you did the tag title match and you had all of this controversy around it with the stuff with Bayley and then Becky's return. And then right afterwards, you dropped the belts right back to Liv. It just came off like a big mess, and you've got so many opportunities there. I mean, the whole point of establishing more belts for the women is more opportunities. And I don't know that it's necessarily panned out that way.
That's exactly the problem, right? There hasn't been a solution. We know that there's a problem, and what we happen to do as of late, since these tag team belts or anything that has to do with the women, now you got these mid-card titles, but the mid-card titles also don't have any investment in them, right? Yeah. Besides Chelsea making her own personal investment into trying to make things work. You got the Intercontinental Women's title. Perhaps maybe there'll be an investment because they're going to put it on a Becky Lynch. Maybe that's what you're looking, you know, forward to doing, right? But I don't know, man. They need to do something because, like you just mentioned, unfortunately, they're just props.
Yes. Right after this, we got the Nia Jax, Tiffany Stratton, Naomi and Jade segment, which set up the main event for the show. Initially, the main event was supposed to be LA Knight versus Damian Priest, but the opening segment ended up turning that into the opening match as opposed to the main event. So the women went on last. This segment was fine. It was just more of Naomi continuing to rehash, you know, her grievances with Jade, and now she is pushing to go back into the title picture, which I'm happy about. I think that this was fine for what it is. I love Jade and Naomi's feud at WrestleMania. I thought the match ended up being solid. And Naomi is just really clearly having a blast playing this character. And so it's so much fun to watch her as a heel at the moment. I think they've got something in her right now, and I think they've got to push her, man. Like, I think people have been waiting since she came back from TNA to get something to sink their teeth into. And now that she's been in a meaningful storyline, she's got a character that she's clearly passionate about.
Yeah,
into it.
It's fun to see her. You know, she's been, since she came back, she's kind of just been like a like an afterthought. She's just been there and taking pins and whatnot, and kind of getting her back into what she was doing in the knockouts division, you know, and letting her kind of go reign on her, like on her, go on her reign of terror. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah. But yeah, this was basically run of the bill segment, set up the main event. Jade still has the tension with Tiffany Stratton here. Nia Jax is trying to push her way back into the world title picture. And, you know, that set up decides with reluctant teammates, how can they coexist for the main event?
Yeah. And this is what I mentioned earlier about getting, like, you know, getting these talents together that are supposed to have problems or kind of not like each other, or there's beef, or I'm coming for that title. But guess what? We're going to be friends for this only match. And you know, something weird's going to happen. Perhaps the little elbow to the face by mistake, or I'm about to hit you, but instead I elbow drop the ref and now the ref is knocked out. What are we going to do? You know, like, unfortunately, that's just, I feel like it's going to go, and it's a go home show. So God, for next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, it was fine. It was what it was, but yeah. We got a super chat from Van Twin Blade. He says, Alex, did you see, world famous Puerto Rico VTuber Iron Mouse spoke to Congress people about the immune deficiency the week after raising over $1 million for the Immune Deficiency Foundation?
Yeah, I was kind of checking that out not too long ago. I saw something come in my email and in my inbox. I have a couple of people who send me things that are happening around in the island, from problems with our government to you know, what you just mentioned. So I did not completely get into it because I was prepping for the show, but yeah. But thank you for bringing that up. I really greatly appreciate it. I like that you guys probably see my tweets and my skeets and my posts on Instagram, and you kind of see that I'm very heavily involved in the politics and the things that happen back in the island, even though I'm not there. You guys have always been so nice to me and supportive of what I have to say, and always standing up for the Latino culture.
We got the return to in-ring competition, at least for SmackDown, for Aleister Black taking on The Miz with Carmelo Hayes in his corner. I was surprised. This is another one. I was surprised this match was as long as it was. I thought this was going to be just a quick, decisive win for Aleister Black. And it was. He picked up the win here, but it seemed like, you know, they had to stretch it out with the stuff outside, a few distractions from Carmelo. I don't know. I don't know that we needed all of that. I still don't know why Carmelo is teamed with The Miz. I don't know that he really fits with The Miz. But it definitely was an Aleister Black match. Came back with his same entrance, same theme song, which is still a slapper. I don't know. It was what it was. It just kind of felt like what we said across the board about the show, that it was just a filler match just to get him back in the ring on SmackDown.
Yeah. And it could, you know, it's going to happen to the one and only Miz, unfortunately, getting Black Mask to his face, you know, like, unfortunately. I don't know what you should just mention. Carmelo should be on the highest of highs. Carmelo should be, if you really wanted to start elevating him, he should have been in the United States title picture a long time ago. He should have been, or anything that has to do with Intercontinental, maybe put him there. I understand what they were doing with that, with Bron Breakker and stuff like that, you know, but they could have, like, figured something out for him. He was an incredible, I mean, his presentation and just the way he carried himself in NXT, to just being a lackey now, is just a little bit weird to me. And yeah. For me, it's like, I'm glad it wasn't him against Malakai or Aleister, just because to me it's like, Aleister wasn't going to lose that match.
No.
I mean, out of like maybe 37 fights, he lost like maybe one singles match in AEW. You know, everything else was with either Buddy or with the trios. So it's just like, you know, the man has a mystique about him. He's not going to lose. He's going to destroy you, right? Because, you know, like you just mentioned, he has that look to him. So I did not want it to be Carmelo. I was like, geez, can we not go back to that? Poor Carmelo lost like 32 fights in a row every Friday night when we were watching.
Yeah, I do feel like this is eventually leading to Melo versus Black. I'm glad it wasn't the first match because, again, it was very obvious that Alistair was going to win. But I have to assume they're going to do that somewhere down the line. And I do think that match is going to be better than this match. But yeah, it's Alistair Black. He's going to win. I mean, he's
I know.
He's still being booked strong because of his return. It's fine.
He controls his own booking. He doesn't lose to anyone.
He does. I mean, man, look, he looks great. He's in incredible shape. He's moving better. I know at one point he had a few injuries that were hampering
him. Yeah.
So it's good to see that he's healthy. And he looks good. But yeah, this was definitely filler.
Super and elongated filler, by the way. He should have came in, given him a roundhouse kick to the mouth, and moved on.
Yeah. We got a super chat from Will Chisholm. He said, the funny part is Nia and Naomi are family.
Our family, yeah, yeah.
Hello. Yeah, that is funny.
Start up the women's bloodline.
Yeah, get to it. Backstage, we got the Rey Fénix and Escobar segment to set up their match later in the night. Escobar came into the locker room and started taunting poor Rey Fénix because he lost his WrestleMania match to El Grande Americano. And he's just like, look at you, man. The so-called greatest luchador ever picked you to take his place. This is probably going to end up one of the biggest matches of your career. And you lose to basically this poser. I was like, man, let him live. Not too much on him, man. All right.
I tell you what, what are they calling him now? The Grand Wizard? What is it that they're calling?
I hope they're not calling him
the Grand Wizard. What are they calling Escobar? Oh, geez. They're calling him something weird. I was just like, the Enchanted One. I don't know what they're calling him. But I was just like, they kept on, Wade Barry just kept on repeating it and repeating it on the damn commentary. So much so that I blocked it. I didn't want to hear it anymore. I was just like, stop calling. Just call him El Jefe Santos Escobar. That's it. That's all you need to call him, bro. Like, he's the boss. You know what I'm saying? Like, the man has mystique. Like, I don't want him.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Like, he's backstage talking to Ray, and I'm like, you should be punking Ray. I don't care if Ray just got in. You know what I'm saying? You've been sitting here. You've been not really used as much as I would like you to be used. Like, you have the representation. You have the legacy behind you. Like, you have all of this stuff, man. You know, like, Ray should have gone out there with you, and we'll talk about it, obviously, but, like, I don't know, man. He's another one that I just feel like, God damn, what are they doing?
Yeah. Again, this was a way to get Rey Fénix on this show.
Correct.
Give, yep. Santos Escobar something to do. Filler. We got the new women's United States champion, Zelina Vega, taking on Piper Niven's. Piper is so funny, man. The way they come out behind Chelsea and they're doing the secret harvest thing, so funny. Chelsea came out all black, mourning the loss of her U.S. title, and she's got Alba Fire and Piper with her. Piper's coming around, checking the perimeter and everything in an all black suit. Very, very funny stuff. I'm very curious to see how they were going to make this match work because of the size difference. And it started very well because Zelina came in hitting the strikes. trying to use stuff like the Crucifix Bomb and stuff, trying to use her craftiness to win this match. But it was another one. This is really when I picked up on it, that they are just dragging this matches out, because I was like, all right, I think you could have told this same story in a more concise match. And it felt like they were trying to fill as much time as possible with the match. And so there were parts of it that it became less and less believable that she was trying to survive in this match with Piper. Like, at certain points, I was like, all right, Piper, you've got her. Why are you slowing down to let her remain in this match? But we still got, like, good spots, like the spot where Piper got her up on her shoulder, and that got, she reversed that into the DDT. The finish of the match, I thought, was fine. Like, the big moonsault that Selena hit also looked clean. But yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe it was just me. There was just...
No, it's not you. I mean, I feel like it too. Like, I was watching, I was like, you know, this needs to be either a squash match, like Piper's going to come out there and like beat the living crap out of you, because that's just in reality, that's what it should be. She's the much stronger individual. And if you're not going to do this, then we're going to have to go the old school route, the David versus Goliath route, right? Where Big Show versus Rey Mysterio. Right, you got to find that way, be crafty, be, you know, be on your toes, speed, quick hits.
Yeah.
You know, knock the big tree down and 1, 2, 3, right? But like you said, it kind of felt like they were making it longer and longer and a little bit longer, you know, like you got to be able to, with matches like this, when it comes to like Zelina Vega, because she has to be quick on her feet and witty and just, you know, chop, chop, chop. When it gets to be a little too long, you can kind of tell, like, they're just kind of waiting for the next move to happen.
Yeah, you could see it.
Yeah, so they're kind of, like, stepping on each other's toes because they're waiting to see what's going to happen next. You know, and I would prefer, and I'm armchair quarterbacking this right now. I would have preferred for them to, you know, kind of just have a little bit of a higher pace, you know, yeah. And maybe, you know, have antics happen after the bell rings 1, 2, 3. Maybe you beat up Alba Fire, you know what I'm saying? Like, or do something, you know, if she decided to come in after the match or whatever. But yeah, I feel you, man. There was some strange dynamics going on today in the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that this match would have worked much better, like you said, if it was fast paced and more concise, but it was fine for what it was. Afterwards, of course, Selena picked up the win, roll up finish, after a distraction outside. Selena ran away with the title afterwards. The crowd did not seem to care after the match.
Can I just say something? When Zelina first came out, I'm a people watcher, right? So like when I watch the wrestling, I know, you know, there's going to be great matches and people are going to fight and do this and whatever. But like I like to watch what the people are doing as well, because you kind of feed off of that through the television set. And there was a shot when she comes in the ring and she's doing the Sasha Banks dance. The camera is a little bit panned back, but people are just like standing there with their hands in their pockets. The entire crowd was standing around with their hands in their pockets. And even when she came out, she's trying to hype up the crowd, like trying to give everyone high fives. And as the camera pans back, they're literally, go watch it. Go watch the replays. They're just arms crossed, arms in their hands. Arms in their pockets, you know, like biology, Alex, Jesus Christ, you know. But yeah, so it's just, I was just like, come on, man, she just won the title.
Give her something, man.
Give her some love. The whole night, it just felt off. The vibe in the arena wasn't as hyped as I thought it should be. But, you know, it also has to do with the product that's being presented in front of them. Right. So like there's only so much we love it. Randy Orton's gonna get a giant pop, but then everything just kind of settled back down after that again.
Yeah, and I think that's where I think if this match was a little bit more punchy and fast paced, it might have gotten a crowd into it, but it went on for the amount of time it did, and then when she did get the roll up finish, people were like, oh, okay. And people were just looking around like, all right. And that's not really fair to Selena, because Selena is a good wrestler. She is very talented. But I I don't think like the build to her winning the title and this match really did her any favors, because like I said, the crowd just was not into it.
Yeah, I 100%. It was just, unless she's in New York, you know, will she get that giant pop? I've noticed anytime she even wins a match, like the crescendo's there, like she won. It's surprising, but then it's just like, you know, and she'll come out again, and it's just again another moment in time where the crowd is just like standing there with their arms crossed. I was surprised. I was so surprised because, you know, like she's trying to hype up the crowd in the ring with her dance and like, you know, letting everybody know what's up, and everyone's just like, oh, okay, cool. Like they're looking at the entranceway.
Yeah, and I think if you had really built her up as this challenger for Chelsea after Chelsea had such a popular reign, it would have worked out better. But like I said, I just think like that abrupt win, it didn't really do her any favors.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know, man. It's just there's the investment. Just let's make an investment on someone. Like I said, and I feel like she's a transitional champion.
I didn't want to say that, but I kind of feel like that too. I want to be wrong because she's been with this company for so long. She works hard, and patient, and they put that over a lot online after she won the belt, and like, you know, how much, you know, patience and perseverance pays off and what have you. And it's like, yeah, I just think if they had built her win better, it would have gotten over better. But it just, you know, it didn't. And, you know, hopefully, you know, with time, you give her some wins, you give her some feuds, that'll change. But I don't know. I really hope that this isn't just, hey, put the belt on her quick and then put the belt right back on Chelsea.
Just kind of like do something to kind of either put it back on Chelsea or bring a new opponent into the mix. But we're not seeing any investments being made. We're not seeing any feuds. We're not seeing any backstories. We're not seeing any tournaments. We're not seeing anything. It's just, it's kind of like the Meechin and Chelsea Green thing. They fought forever, like 10,000 matches in 1 week. Sorry, I'm ranting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if what is going on?
Live right now from Phil's house. Who's at the door?
That like threw me way off. Sorry.
We're gonna put bets on BetOnline.ag right now, and who's at Phil's door?
Get turned around like Shannon Sharp.
Shut the fuck up.
Did you see that clip? Shannon's just like, shut the fuck up.
Oh, Shannon. Poor Shannon. We're not even going to get into Shannon. Poor Shannon.
Oh, man.
Not poor Shannon. Wow. He needs to know better. The man's 57 years old. Come on, Shannon. Get your shit together. Listen to us here at Fightful. If you need a job, hit us up.
But yeah, send us your super chats. Send us your humper chats. We've got two more matches to get into. Randy Orton came out to cut a promo before our last two matches. And it was essentially just a rehash of what we saw from last week. It was cool. But I hate when they do this thing where it's like, all right, it's clear the champion's not here. It's clear like the main guy that they've been having these back and forth with is not here. So we got to have something here to fill this week until we get back to it next week. And that's really what this was. I think the Randy and Cena stuff last week was good, especially the SmackDown segment. I really liked the SmackDown segment. So I kind of wish that they had something more interesting for Randy to do this week other than just come out and rehash what we already knew.
It's just going to be like that. because next week we'll get Cena do this exact same thing that Randy just did. And just throw Randy's name into it. Oh, you want to be the legend killer? Come get some. Da-na-na. And that's it.
What do I do? Yeah, but yeah, this is what it was. Randy came out and basically reiterated a lot of what we already knew. That's what it is. Follow this up. We got the Santos and Ray Phoenix match that was set up earlier in the night in the backstage segment. I thought that this was going to be the match, Alex. When it started, I was like, all right, we've got two luchadors in there. They're going to come out. They're going to wrestle at the quick pace. We're going to get the big high spots. This is going to be match of the night. It wasn't match of the night.
It was good. I mean, listen, they did their thing. And God, now, I mean, this is a repetitive thing that I'm putting out here. I apologize to everyone, but there was segments where they were just laying on the mat for a long time. Like you said, they were trying to, and you know, for being luchadors, they should have been a little bit more free, like a little bit more fast paced. It was something missing, man. And I guess it's because my brain has been freaking now like rewired with AEW lucha wrestling, right? And seeing the Lucha Bros or Ray or Penta do their thing in AEW, which is totally different from one of, you know, I know that they've only had a handful of matches, but they're not the same. It's not the same. It's not. It really isn't. And can I tell you, I know Santos could go. I know he can go, bro. I know if you let him loose, he'll do his thing, man. But here we are.
Yeah, very safe match. I thought.
Yes, that's exactly. Those are the words I was looking for.
Very, very safe match. I thought, like, okay, it's Ray Phoenix. You're going to let him go out there and go, you know, all full cylinder, like balls to the wall. Santos is going to get off. You're going to have a great match. And they didn't. It just, like you said, there was a lot of, like, you know, dragging us out, laying on the ground, rest holds. I was like, God, get to it, man. I was like, come on. And I mean, the spots I really loved, like the finish of the match was excellent. Ray Phoenix did the tightrope walk into the takedown, and then he did his finisher. Looked incredible. But it's like, man, I just wanted to see the big high spots. I wanted to see some more of what you'd expect out of Lucha Libre in this match, and we just didn't get it. I was so surprised because I was like, if any match is going to deliver tonight, I thought these two guys were going to bring it, and it didn't. It was just more of the,
like, it was underwhelming. It was just, you know, when they say we got, you know, like, just let them do their thing, man. That match could have 100% stolen the show tonight.
Yes. I thought that it should have with these two guys, with just how talented these two guys were. And man, it just was more of this. It was just more of this tone that we've had over this entire show of just like, I don't know, man. Everything just was at this slow pace. Everything was just dragging along. Yeah. And like I said, I think that that's part of having a 3-hour show, because you got to fill time. Yeah. And so I think if this was a 2-hour show, we would have gotten a quick, we would have got a quicker match out of this, and it would have been better. But yeah, this didn't really hit for me like I wanted it to.
It sounds like we're harping a lot on tonight's show. I don't think it's, and it's none of that. I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea. It's just that we have a certain feeling. We're not the only ones who feel like that. There's other people around the web and whatnot who've said the same exact thing. There was just a lot of like weird, elongated pauses and moments and weird events happening. A lot of recapping.
We got the big recap of the TLC match during this and a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, I mean, the spots in this match that were good, like the strike exchanges, like some of the stuff at the beginning of the match, I really enjoyed. And like I said, the finish was excellent. But this just didn't really. I thought this was going to be the pick me up match because I was nodding off at one point. I was cutting back and forth to basketball, and I was like, "This is going to be the thing. This is going to be the match that gets me locked in." And it did not.
And yeah, I'm like, nailing the score match on the head, but yeah,
But yeah, we got, you know, more recap stuff. Then we got the main event of the show, Naomi and Nia Jax versus Tiffany Stratton and Jade Cargill was the main event of the show. I thought it was great that they gave the women the main event. I really felt like Naomi and Jade has been one of the best storylines in general throughout. And so it was really cool to see that not just that the story is continuing, but they're continuing to get big spots. They're continuing to get big opportunities, whether that be the non-title match at WrestleMania and main event in this show. So I was really happy to see them in this spot in the main event. And I thought the match overall was pretty good. I thought for me, this was probably the best match of the night. I thought that the women worked really well. I thought that they worked hard. Despite what you would say about Jade and her experience level, the thing that Jade always excels at is the big moves, man. When you get her in there and you give her these big like feats of strength and big feats of athleticism, she always makes these things look good. The big power bomb she hit at the end on Nia Jax, I thought that looked awesome. And it was kind of the same thing in the Mania match where like that electric chair thing she did into the power bomb was just crazy. But that's what she does so well.
She reminds me a lot of Kevin Nash, earlier years, Kevin Nash, yeah. You know, Diesel turning into Kevin Nash. You know, you got that powerhouse, you come in, you're not looking to, you know, she shouldn't be in there trying to do, tope suicidas. She should be in there being exactly who she is. And she knows who she is. She's a powerful individual. And everyone knows here, everyone on the show knows how much I love me some Jade. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll let her destroy me, put me in a freaking chokehold, whatever she wants, anytime. Hey, I'm good with it, bro. She wants to powerbomb me, electric chair powerbomb. I'm good, man. Let's do it. I don't care. I might not get up for like a week, but I'm okay. It was Jade. I like that they continue to put her in tag team matches because I do feel like even, you know, she does work on her craft. I feel like she's a hard worker. She always posts videos of her in the gym and in the ring and doing her thing. But it's always good to have these reps with other individuals around you that, you know, you're still in a system that you're kind of like, you know, she hasn't been here. Like, even if she's here for a year or two, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard. You know, you're fighting for TV time and you're, you know, she was gone with, you know, getting hit with a car or whatever happened to her, you know, like whatever she was doing during that off time. Like, those were reps that she also needed to be in the ring for, you know? So it's good to be in the ring with individuals who can lead and help you. And when she's in there on her own, she'll be able to stand on her own two feet and give you those feats of strength, give you that those power bombs, you know? Like, I don't want her flying around in the ring either. I feel like she should go in there and just strong arm everyone because that's who she is. You know, That's the presence. And even if she doesn't win the match and she gets outsmarted, that's okay too. Because a person who's big and strong and intellectually smart in the ring and stuff like that, you're not going to know everything that happens around you. There's going to be a misstep or something. And I think Jade, man, she has that. She's just, if she tweaks it a little bit more, man, there's nothing that's going to be able to stop her. When she was holding that world title at the very end, I was like, damn, she looked good with that title, man. That title looks good on her. Like, I'm thinking to myself, like, she's someone that can, you know, you can strap her up, very well spoken and educated and could do media. She looks like $1 trillion, you know. She's a life-size freaking giant Barbie doll that can just destroy you at the same time, you know, athletic. So for me, like, and seeing that and that image of her with the title, I can dig it. You know, obviously she's still a long ways from it, but she held a TBS title and she looked great with it.
Yeah.
But she's now in WWE. So I don't want to compare the two. So whatever title she holds, if it's the US title, if it's the Intercontinental Women's title, if it's this, and I know she had the tag team gold, but this one just specifically, like, I was like, okay. Yeah. I can see it.
Yeah, man, I thought she looked good in this match. I thought,
yeah, she did. Yeah,
the women worked well in this match. Like you're saying, I think Jade, when she's never gonna be this like 5-star classic wrestler that you put in to have like 20-minute matches. And I think the tag matches work so well because her hot tag is so incredibly entertaining, man. Like, soon as she hits the ring, she hits the big moves and it looks tremendous. So I think it's a good spot to have her in. That show when she was in the tag team with Bianca, and the show here as well. The babyface picked up the win here. they were standing tall at the end. And then, of course, Naomi came back in it at the end because she is basically like what Sean was describing at the beginning of this show with Braun Strowman. Every time Jade thinks she's moved on, Naomi's going to show up and say, I'm not finished with you yet, and do something else. And so she jumps her afterwards and she picks up the belt. And just like you were saying with Jade, I was like, I don't know, man. Put that belt on Naomi, man. This feels like, I don't know. If you're not going to put the belt on her, I think she would make a lot of sense of this year's Money in the Bank winner. I think you've got to give her something with this heel turn to justify it because it's been so good.
Yeah.
And I think it makes a lot of sense for her to have that briefcase. If you're going to keep Tiffany and Jade going for the next few months, her with that briefcase makes a ton of sense. But man, put the belt on Naomi, in my opinion.
I think that having her as a heel persona, as a champion, would wash away anything that she was doing prior when she was like the glow version of herself, right?
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes, and you hear wrestlers say it all the time, like they love working heel because it's different, right? It's just you're trying new things and you're really pushing the envelope. And I think her as a champion, as a female champion, as a heel, money. I think she would really excel in it.
Yeah, I would love to see that, man. She's just been so fun to watch as this character, so I would love that. But I thought that this was a strong way to end a very mixed bag episode of SmackDown. I'm still very much into the stuff they're doing with the women. Next week, we're getting the number one contenders match. Nia Jax will be taking on Jade Cargill. That's a rematch from their Queen of the Ring tournament match. Of course, we did not ever get a definitive win to that because Nia won that match via disqualification. So I have to assume this time Jade's going to win, right?
That's I would like that, yeah, but I don't know, man. They can throw any swerves. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll have a run-in. Who knows?
Yeah. It kind of feels like they're setting it up for Naomi to do the run-in.
Yeah.
This is going to turn into another multi-woman match or something.
Yes. Like that. Yes.
But I would prefer for them to just finally give Jade the win and save the run-in for the title match or something. But we'll see.
I agree.
That was our last call for Super Chats. I don't think we have any more. Let me double check.
We can say goodbye to everyone, give everyone where we're going to go, and then we can leave the show by letting everyone know about BetOnline.ag.
That's right. But yeah, I don't. Again, last call for Super Chats before we get out of here.
Because it's always the last thing that you remember, the lasting impression.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling, it's not just MMA and boxing, it's football, it's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline.ag has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
Please, if you do bet responsibly, guys. Just bet what you can. But for all your sports betting needs, betonline.ag is the place to go. Hopefully you did not bet on the Golden State Warriors tonight. Took a loss to the Houston Rockets. But We do have a pay-per-view coming up. You can make your pro wrestling bets on Bet Online. I'm sure there are odds for Backlash on there as well. But again, betonline.ag is the place to go for all your sports betting needs. I don't see any more super chats or any new humper chats. I think we are out of here. Let me just double check. Yeah, I think we got them all. This has been Fightful SmackDown Review. I'm Phil Lindsay. You can, of course, find me tomorrow at noon Eastern on this very YouTube channel, Hope Sync Rhapsody with Righteous Reg. We'll get into some of this WWE release stuff. We'll get into Mayu heading to Marigold and whatever other news that is out there. Feel free to check us out. Our YouTube channel is also up. It's at YouTube/@Grapsody. You can check out our interview with Brody King. I'm tired. Sorry, guys. Very tired. Brody King. Not Buddy King. Not some amalgamation of Buddy and Brody like they did the fusion dance.
Buddy King.
Brody King.
Buddy King is a new up-and-coming country star.
Buddy King is like if they did the fusion dance and then became like a blues singer. Oh, God. Yeah, appreciate you guys. Alex, you got anything
to promote? Hey, guys. I love you all. Thank you for supporting us here every single Friday night. Thank you for like coming in and jumping in for Kate, who left us yet again. And we love her. I hope she comes back one day. And you guys can follow me. You guys, you can follow me today, Saturday. I have a brand new episode of This Is Fine, a Millennial Diary coming out. You guys know where to get it. Simply go to my YouTube channel or you can listen to it on your favorite podcast platform, whether it's Spotify or Apple. It's This Is Fine, a Millennial Diary. You can check all the links out at alexiscardoza.com. So just to make it easy, if you go to alexiscardoza.com, you'll see all the links there. If you want to listen, watch both, it's all there. But yeah, so we're 16 episodes in and they're bite-sized little episodes, about 5 minutes long. So you guys can binge from episode one all the way there to episode 15 and tell me what you like. Appreciate you all. And again, thank you all for like your support and love and for everything that you do for us.
Yeah, appreciate all the supers and humper chats. But this is where we bid you adieu. This has been Phil, Alex. We're out of here.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.